It's the Ag Watcher Show. It's the Ag Watcher Show. It's the Ag Watcher Show.
Hi, I'm Natalie Green. I'm the event program manager of a new agricultural event, Future Ag, launching in Melbourne in April 2024.
There you go. Fantastic.
It's good. It's actually good when we tell people in advance that they're doing the intro, because then they don't look quite as shocked when they have to do it.
Natalie's come well prepared though.
I was listening mere hours before we were supposed to record yesterday when I realized that's the sort of thing you'd do.
Yeah, some people, it's surprising that, like, obviously the people that listen regularly know that we don't edit, but some guests aren't always that aware that we don't edit. So that, I'm surprised actually that that does get people a little bit, you know, kind of throws them off a bit when they know that whatever we say is there forever, in perpetuity.
I've been interviewed before on podcasts, but knowing, I'll cut this bit out.
Well, I think it makes it more natural. Yeah. And I think we're also lazy, Matt and I, so it's too hard to edit a podcast.
That's true.
But it's just a natural conversation, and that's what makes it easier.
Yeah, well, like as I said yesterday, I think it's the charm of your podcast that you do that. So anyway.
But some people get nervous, but I don't think – it's funny, some people you wouldn't expect to get nervous do get nervous.
Mm.
There's no reason to.
Yeah, well, no. I'm the person that stands at the side of the stage and says, "Don't worry about it, you'll be fine," because I'm not speaking.
That's it. Well, we'll get into it. We'll get into it with the sixth sense. So that's our word association kind of psychological test of you, Natalie, to make sure you're able to continue through the podcast.
Sounds good.
So we're going to fire six words or phrases, and just whatever comes. Comes back straight away. You might go first. I always go first.
We'll do it afterwards. Sorry.
What's that? You want to do the complaints and compliments?
Yeah, we'll do it after the sixth sense.
Okay, rightio. We'll mix it up a little bit.
Mix up a bit.
I've
also got a new psychological test as well, but we'll do that next time.
Okay, right. Well, other than the sixth sense?
Going to mix things up a bit, Matt.
People will expect the sixth sense, you know. You can't. It's like when they change the Coca Cola or the Vic Bitter.
Yeah,
change the recipe, and then people get annoyed.
I've noticed the last couple of people guests on have been too prepared.
Too prepared, yeah.
And they know that. So I've got a new one for next podcast. Okay.
If it makes you feel better, I feel completely unprepared.
Yeah, that's it. That's how you meant to just answer it as you answer it. So you're going to start, Andrew, and I'll keep telling you. You start first this time around.
Yep. Agricultural technology.
The future. The future of agriculture.
What makes a good conference?
Topics that are important to the people in the audience, and that the people in the audience have some sort of representation in that conference.
Running an agricultural event in a metropolitan area.
Something that has been missing for a while, but probably not as removed from rural areas as you might think, because Australia is a big place and, you know, people can get to metro areas.
Black pudding.
What was that, sorry?
Black pudding.
Have never been there, probably never will.
Crocs footwear. Actually, no, sorry. I'm going to give you a binary choice. Crocs or Birkenstocks?
Birkenstocks.
And why?
Crocs, I understand the functionality, but the style or lack thereof is a barrier for me, whereas I think Birkenstocks has a certain amount of style.
I'm not convinced, because they're so uncomfortable.
Birkenstocks are? Birkenstocks. I thought they're meant to be very comfortable. Really?
Apparently they're comfortable when you've worn them in for 6 months, but Crocs are straight out of the box comfort.
I wouldn't
thought you were I thought you were nearly, you almost at one stage were considering switching your allegiance from Crocs to Birkenstocks, I thought.
I've tried them on. They're just too uncomfortable. I'm actually looking at Vibes, which is which is a Norwegian sandal made in Portugal.
Why the obsession with them?
Just comfort and style and practicality.
We've gone sidetracked massively on the sick. We've got one more six cents.
This is not a psychological test of me. This is a psychological test of you.
I'll ask the questions.
Just try and take control here, Natalie, like Bob Catter did. took control of the podcast. Last one. Future Ag Expo.
Solving the problems and opportunities for farming in Australia here and now.
There we are. Is that the tagline for the actual event?
No, and as I was saying it, I was thinking, oh, God, that's such a silly answer because there's just so much to do with Future Ag, and so much of it is also just really cool toys, really cool stuff, so on one hand it's, look, I think we're doing a good job in covering some really important topics, but it's also, I don't want to get away from the fact that there's just really cool stuff to come and look at.
Before we get into talking about Future Ag, which Matt constantly gets the name wrong.
In the first podcast, I called it AgriFutures. I was nearly there. I had the words right. I just mixed them around.
We get it mixed up too, so fine.
But we should cover off on complaints.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Complaints and compliments. Well, it's mostly complaints and not compliments.
Well, on the last, I think it was the last podcast, I had forgotten to plug my microphone in. So my audio was very terrible. It's normally pretty terrible, but it was extremely terrible for the first 5 minutes until I realized it wasn't plugged in. So I have given myself 10 Hail Marys, and we should be good to go.
There you go. Was that the only complaint? Your poor performance on the initial podcast.
Somebody did comment that they had been listening to a lot of agricultural podcasts whilst they were traveling on the long weekend.
Yeah,
and they did comment about the advertisements on other podcasts that they thought were quite hilarious. and they wondered when we were going to get some adverts for for Homebush Mazda or the Grout man.
The Grout guy. We kind of advertised by stealth, of course. We haven't actually got any advertising benefits from Crocs Footwear yet, despite all of the kind things we say. Obviously Pacton Park and the Merino Polo, they're kind of sponsors that we have a somewhat of an arrangement with.
Which I would say, if Steve Noah's listening, I could do with an extra couple of size larges because I put on a bit of weight recently because I haven't been exercising because I pulled my abductor. Anyway, we shall move on to the actual.
We should. We've got Natalie here and we're just rabbiting on about.
No, please go ahead. Keep going.
So Future Ag Expo is a sort of a site offshoot of Agritechnica.
That's right. Yep.
So Agritechnica is in Hanover in Germany.
Yeah. Agritechnica is delivered by DLG, which are the German Agricultural Society, and they're our partners on this event. So obviously they bring experience and they bring advice. They're bringing an international flavour to it in terms of delegates and in terms of exhibitors. They are sort of, arguably a bit of a gold standard, and it's massive. So we're just launching. We have no illusions that we're going to be as big physically yet as that, but we are inspired by them. Yeah,
you're talking about when you say as big as that, you're talking about the big one that they do in Germany each year.
Someone from our team was over there at the latest one and just said, you're just walking like 10 kilometers a day type thing. It's just massive. Yeah.
But that's the biggest. So it's one of the biggest agricultural conferences or expos in the world, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. And I think with Agritechnica, in terms of in Australia, people either totally know it and would love to go there, or, you know, some people are just being educated on it. And, you know, we're kind of hoping to bring that sort of flavour to this sort of local market. But, yeah, it is pretty impressive by all accounts.
So will at the Future Ag, which is obviously kind of a semi-offshoot, will there be Lederhosen? Will there be beer?
I was hoping that you guys could set the tone for your session with the Lederhosen.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm not sure because it would be cultural appropriation. So I will be wearing a kilt and Matt will be wearing a cocked hat.
Do you, given you put on that extra weight, does the kilt still fit at the moment, Andrew? Or
it'll be back to fitting, I think, actually.
Yeah, oh, well, because you'd lost weight and then it wasn't fitting. It was too loose.
It's too loose and now it's back to normal. I haven't put on that much weight. But anyway, we'll see. So what is the purpose of bringing it to Australia then?
Well, another one of our supporters, not intentionally giving them a plug, but this is genuine, a Melbourne Royal. So obviously we're hosting the event at Melbourne Showgrounds, and we've sort of been in talks with them, and they believe that, you know, the Australian agricultural industry, you know, hasn't had like an urban, a metropolitan, I guess, located event like this. I mean, I've heard people say it's like a field day on steroids. It's just something a bit different. Like, there are many, many, many great ag events in Australia, but we just think this sort of trade show environment with, you know, the demonstrations and the conference and the speaking and all in an area that is accessible in a metropolitan area is just something that, you know, is sort of lacking a bit.
That's one of the things you said at the outset when I mentioned about what makes a good conference, because you've had experience and the team at Hanover Fairs are quite experienced in doing this type of stuff, not just for agriculture, other conferences as well, right, in different industries.
Absolutely,
But you said what makes a good conference was the relevance of the information that's there, and also, which I thought was an interesting point to make, that the people that are attending the conference see themselves represented there as well. So was that a kind of an allusion to making sure that it's not just a whole lot of, you know, white males speaking all the time, or is it about that bringing that inclusion and diversity and making it something that's interesting for people to go and see in its own right?
Absolutely. I have been going to a lot of ag events, and, you know, the whole team here has been, you know, indoctrinated that if you want to do something for an ag audience, you need to immerse yourself into that world, and you can just fall down so many rabbit holes immersing yourself, and it's actually quite a satisfying industry to get immersed in. But I've gone to a lot of ag events, and I a few times have thought to myself, this is great, but where are the farmers? Like, is this really, are we speaking to them, or are we speaking for them or with them? And so ho, 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 I said, I'm going to have lots and lots of farmers on our program. It's not always that easy because, you know, getting them off the farm and, you know, while they might be enthusiastic, you know, I realize now that, no, it's not that easy to have them represented. However, thanks to all the amazing people and networks that I've met, and we've all met putting this show together, we have got that representation there. But yeah, absolutely. I, you know, I can watch Landline as much as I want, but, you know, it's not my job to speak for them. It's, you know, the producers of this country to speak for themselves and to have their issues addressed and acknowledged. And hopefully, well, I think one of the great things about Future Ag is it's all about solutions, you know, and it's not saying here's the magic bullet for this issue, but some of it is, and some of it's just saying, hey, let's make a start and let's, you know, work through this issue and make, you know, the industry, you know, be what it can be.
So
that's a fabulous point.
So one of the things about, you've been to a lot of conferences in the last couple of months and last year, I'm guessing. I can guess which ones you went to. One of the barriers to going to conferences, one is time, but one of them that I see nowadays is cost.
Absolutely, yeah.
So like Matt and I go to quite a lot of conferences. Generally, we're lucky to go to conferences because we generally go to conferences that we speak at. And so we get a free ticket, pretty much, or we get paid to speak.
Yeah.
But what I would say is that when you look at the cost of some conferences, they are quite expensive. And so like there's some conferences that are, $600, $700, and then most of the speakers are just sponsors who are there to sell you something. But Future Ag is free, isn't it? Well, the expo is
Yeah.
free, and then there's a conference on the side of it, which is what, $200?
Yeah, with our, I think it's 250 for 2 days, but with our trade shows, they're generally all free. Or we might put some side events on and we might charge a small amount. That just helps us with sort of RSVPs. But generally we try and make our trade shows free. On this occasion, we decided to go for a conference just because we were starting out. We wanted to make the right connections. We wanted to, just say the right things and represent the right things. It's been really well received, but it was really important that we keep that cost low. I'm the same. I get to go to lots of events, and my company pays for me. But a lot of these events, I mean, if you think about it from a producer's point of view, if they want to invest in sort of the machinery and this technology that are on in the exhibition, well, they want to spend their money on that. Like if they're spending X amount of dollars on conferences, and I'm not saying conferences aren't worth spending money on, but looking at from that practical, position that, not only do we want to provide solutions in form of ideas, but of course we have exhibitors there that they've come from agricultural backgrounds and they have products and services and technology and equipment that can help them save that. So if they're going to leave their farm, take that time out, and also, I guess, spend some money to come to Melbourne, if we have removed that barrier of cost of entry, then that's makes more sense for them and it's kind of win-win.
I want to pick up on that point you made around, making the conference relevant there as well, because you mentioned a point there specifically about having farmers represented in the actual conference itself, and to have a conference where farmers felt like, or the producers themselves felt like they were getting something of value, and it was something that was put on, for their benefit. Because that was one of the criticisms, Andrew. We were at a conference last year that we go to, because there's a few that we go to regularly. Each year, because they're good conferences, and some of them are good conferences, not so much for what's on the agenda, but it's the opportunity to network as well, right? There are some where a lot of people, everyone attends, so it's worth going just for that in its own right. But this particular conference, the criticism immediately afterwards, it was publicly leveled, was that it was not for farmers. Like, it was a conference where, there were no farmers really present in any way. And it wasn't a conference that was for farmers. And I think that point you make about having one that is geared towards that is a critical one, because that criticism was quite picked up on social media, wasn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, and I think I know the one you're talking about. But not all agricultural conferences are necessarily aimed for farmers.
That's true
And
as well. That's true as well.
there's a lot of criticism about conferences for, it's not there wasn't enough about for farmers, but some conferences, the audience is not actually supposed to be farmers. There's a whole supply chain beyond farmers. So if you go to a conference that is heavily policy focused, well, the audience is not necessarily farmers, it's other policy people and industry. And likewise, if you've got an economics or markets-based one, it's probably not going to be designed for farmers either.
Yeah, I mean, like to that point, I've been to a lot of great ag events, so have nothing bad to say about any of them. And yeah, sometimes they do cater for that wider market, like investors and, the more wider agribusiness industries. And that's fine because I think Future Ag will have that. We'll speak to those audiences as well. But we decided, we want to hone in on farmers. And there were two instances at two different events that I went to that really kind of helped influence us in how we were approaching some of the program. And one was I went to an event and somebody said, you know, I don't want a piece of tech that's been developed by some major Silicon Valley company. I want something that's been developed by a farmer. And everyone in the audience, like, people just started clapping. And so I really paid attention to that. And another event I went to, there was people and there was a panel and they were talking about sort of supply chain and supermarkets and that sort of thing. And then they handed it over to the audience and all these farmers started sharing their stories and their frustrations. And my colleague and I just sat there really kind of overwhelmed, but in a good way, just, and it made us realize it's one thing to represent the issues, but if you don't have those voices saying, you know, their experience, then it's, you're just kind of, I don't know, talking to yourself.
And your background, like you said before, you've had to immerse yourself in agriculture to get an understanding, which I think is the right pathway, you know, before you even started with the, you know, getting this conference together, you kind of, you know, prepped yourself up, I guess, for want of a better descriptor. But your background's not from ag, but now it seems like you're quite focused on what's happening in the goings around the ag space. Like, so you're kind of integrating yourself into it. How have you found that process in terms of, you know, have you been reasonably well accepted? Andrew put out a social media. Is that finished yet, that voting thing, or has it got another day to go?
It's probably another day.
Asking about how inclusive is the ag space, and I just was interested to hear from someone that's come from a non-ag background effectively, but now you are immersed in it. How's that journey been?
Oh, I mean, honestly, I'm a bit obsessed, to be honest. Like, it's just, I'm surprised. You know, I was interested when we first started talking about the event 18 months ago, but, you know, obviously you need to know what you're going to present in the programs, and so you really, really do have to immerse yourself. But it's not just, you know, podcasts and reading. Once you start talking to someone, I swear every time I talk to one person from a group, whether it be Riverine Plains or it be AusAgritech, anything like that, they'll say, oh, have you spoke to so-and-so? And they'll give me a list of 10 people. And this happens every time I talk to anybody. And I just say, no, I haven't. And then I, without fail, will go and approach these people because it's such a sort of a welcoming network. And, it's just... And another thing that it actually has led to, and I've worked with the NFF on this one, on the last day of the conference, we're going to have a panel and we're going to address the importance of educating the public on issues that are quite complex. But if you hear a little news bite about, I don't know, say live exports, and you're not immersed in the ag industry, you might have an opinion. I would have put myself in this, you know, category before getting involved with this. You might say, hey, oh, live exports, yeah, no brainer. Oh, I eat meat, but, you know, I don't want anyone to be cruel to animals. Without, you don't realize the complexities. And the thing is, with social media now, you know, the general public can influence policies that affect farmers without actually really understanding. And I think, especially now that that this event's taking place in an urban environment, I think we need to have, you know, regular conversations about how can the agricultural industry, you know, connect and inform the greater public, because it does affect, you know, how business operates.
That's a good point. Andrew, we had a client a few years back that was in the financial world, so financial markets type client, and so none of those people in that industry really had any clue about it, but they were wanting to get into that space.
They went out and bought Aaron Williams and Aaron Williams puffer and checkered shirts. So they looked apart.
They looked like they were from ag, but they didn't have much. They
they were the epitome of the Pitt Street cowboy.
Yeah, but one in particular, I'm talking about Sally O'Keefe had mentioned, because she and exactly that was around the time that the live export stuff was breaking with that AWASI Express, the 2018 thing. And so it was on 60 Minutes. There was a lot of negativity around that, those imagery, rightly so, because it was pretty, you know, terrible imagery. But not having that understanding more broadly about the complexities, like you said, of that particular issue. And I remember having a few discussions with Sally from that organization, Sally O'Keefe. And she, after having that interaction multiple times with us, because obviously they were clients of ours and we were helping them you know, kind of penetrate into that ag space, and to understand about how the ag sector worked. She kind of came and said, like, without that, you know, without that kind of knowledge and background, she had a totally different view of what was going on. And then what she ended up doing was within her circle of, you know, people she knew privately, when the topic was coming up, she was actually then speaking in an informed manner about another aspect. And that's what you're saying about ag being able to get that penetration to the areas, you know, that are like the urban people that don't necessarily know those complexities. And that sounds like it's going to be an interesting panel. And so that's the last one on the day, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of went to the NFF because I knew that they'd be really interested in it. And, you know, we were saying, if this goes well, you know, potentially, you know, have it in years to come and just keep progressing the conversation. But I mean, it's also just one of these things that the more you get, you know, become aware of what's going on in the ag space, the more you know, the less you know. Every single issue is complex, and you can probably talk to five different farmers and they're going to have five different opinions on certain things. But, you know, I think it's also, you know, it's just one of those, we have great food security in this country. You know, go into the supermarket and you pick up a, you know, some blueberries or whatever, and just kind of recognize, oh, this actually came from someone, and, you know, this represents X, Y, Z issues and efforts and, yeah, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's, I think, yeah, the wider awareness is always a good thing.
Yeah, no, that's right. With the, like the conference itself too, like looking at, obviously, Andrew and I are going to be at the conference for both days. I think we're kicking off after the welcome. We've got a little short session we do at the expo on the expert stage for about 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's a good thing to be right at the start. We'll set the scene.
We'll be talking about all the sort of black swan events and the impacts of various things impacting
agriculture. I think you're going to say the black pudding events. You know, we promise not to speak too much about crocs.
No.
But just looking at, like, there's a lot of people, you know, when we went through the list of speakers too, because we've had a few on the podcast in the lead up and previous times, like, yep, you know, your Tim Neals of the world, who's in the tech space and ag space.
David Johanke.
Yep, heaps of them. So it's going to be, I'm looking forward to it. One, because of the, you know, the fact that it's the first time around, but it's shaping up to be one of those events, I think, Andrew, where you're going to have opportunities to get some really good info, but also just see all the people you need to see, you know, which is I think one of the best things about a good event to me is one that you can really, that helps with that networking, but also just being able to catch up with, you know, because it's such a big country and there's so many different people, and we cut across so many different commodities and so many different things in what Andrew and I do, that to have one or two events per year where you can go and catch people from everywhere is a fantastic opportunity. And I think this one's shaping up to be one of those as well, which is what I'm really looking forward to.
And I think one of the other things for me is that we don't really touch upon production agriculture.
Yep.
Most of our work is, in reality, we've got the podcast, but most of our work, our commercial work, is really food. Is where we sort of
post-farm gate analysis, and
supply chains and markets.
Yeah.
But it'd actually be good to see some machinery up front. And I used to go to a lot of the field days. So Dowerin, which we're going to Dowerin this year as well.
Yeah.
Actually, we're going to Dowerin in the city. But Waging, Willerama, the Henty Field Day, Longanong, all these field days I used to go to all every year. But I haven't been to any of them in how many years? Four or five years?
I think the last one would have been, I think you and I went to Dowerin.
No, we went to Dowerin. That was, yeah. We were working at another company.
Yep.
Which shall remain nameless. I don't think they exist anymore. But that was, yeah, it must have been 2019. We went to Dowerin Field Day. I remember it was hot, was it not?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was warm.
September. It was
hot for us. Yeah. You don't have to get too high in temperature to be hot for us, I think. Once it gets into the mid-20s,
But it's good to actually have a look at some of the new technology and some of the machineries in a hand-on sort of environment. And also get some stubby holders.
Yeah.
I'm running out because I've not been to so many field days. They've all, the bottoms of them all fell out of mines. Maybe some new hats. And maybe I know that there's I'm still waiting for the post, but I know that there's a company doing croc gibbets as a
Yeah.
promotional tool.
Oh my God.
Do you know what gibbets are, Natalie? Those sort of things. I saw one the other day that is like a, it replicates a human toe and you can stick it in your crop with the toe hanging out. But
Appalling. I think that we might, for the future, need to look into approaching crocs to exhibit at Future Ag. I think that might be a good idea.
crocs are extremely popular in agriculture. Ever since the AgWatchers podcast launched in 2020, everyone in the dairy industry is wearing them. Easy to wash, easy to wipe off. They're actually
I've actually heard.
Aaron Williams are no longer the footwear of agriculture. It's crocs.
No. I've actually heard that in the Netherlands as well, because of the popularity, because AgWatchers is an international brand. In the Netherlands, they've started making kind of crocs out of wood as well. So, like replicating crocs, but doing homemade ones out of wood. So, yeah,
Oh, it's renewable, isn't it?
yeah,
When they
it's
wear down,
a.
you can throw them in the fire.
All right. Note to self, contact crocs.
So is the idea, because this is the first time around that this event's happening in Australia, is the idea that it will be based in Melbourne each year with the kind of partnership you've got with the Royal Society there, or is it something that you think, do you envisage that it will travel around the country at all?
That's a good question. In a few weeks' time, we'll probably have more of an idea of what we do. Our plan is definitely to make our mark, and just with all of our events, we're the same anyway. We have them, we assess, we work out what we can do better, where we can go, how we can meet all our audience's interests. At this point, pretty much Melbourne, but never say never. I just think, yeah, we'll assess in a few weeks from now, and see what we're going to do after that.
Because that's one of the ones, Andrew, we spoke about in the past, the benefits of having a conference in a major city versus, the benefit in going to somewhere regional or not so much remote, but like to a
Well,
larger regional setting like a Tamworth or a, Dubbo or something. It has its advantages and disadvantages when you go outside of.
it depends on what the audience is. If the audience is a local audience, like say for instance, Matt and I went to the Rice Growers Association conference, which was in Griffith, which I'm a big fan of Griffith, but all the rice growers are within 200 k's of there. So it makes sense to have it in Griffith. No point having it in Melbourne if everyone has travel. But if you're doing a conference which is mixed, getting everyone to Griffith, you've got everyone has to drive 4 or 5 hours or fly into Melbourne and fly up to Griffith, and there's not enough planes. And so, like, I just think that regional conferences are a lot harder than people think to organize and a lot more expensive to organize than you'd think.
I mean, I guess it's just the challenge you have when you're trying to appeal to everyone. I mean, you say farmer, well, that could be a major corporation or it could be a family operation. It could be in cattle or it could be in horticulture or it could be in aquaculture. And, we've kind of gone for that big swing. And so, I guess there's pluses and minuses with each area and each. I guess focus that you want to do.
When we were at the Melbourne sort of conference for VFF, there was complaints about holding it in Melbourne and not holding it in regional areas.
Yeah, that was the MCG one. We
Yeah,
MC. Yeah.
but in reality, Melbourne for Victoria is pretty central. Like
Yeah, it is.
if you haven't Horsham, it's no use for somebody from Gippsland. If you're from
Yeah.
Gippsland, it's no use for somebody in Horsham. So it's kind of everyone has to put a little bit of work to get
I mean,
in.
and there's accommodation. I mean, obviously, Victoria is the largest exporting state of agricultural products in Australia, so it kind of makes sense. But there, in terms of Australia, in terms of considering the space that we have to play with and what the distances people are used to traveling, it's not a bad spot because you do. I mean, even Riverine Plains or whatever, even South Australia, it's not that far away.
No, but I think it's an easy place to get to Melbourne. What they should do, right, Matt? Here's an idea. As part of obviously Alice Springs has its own issues at the moment, but maybe they should actually just build a huge conference centre in Alice Springs, And because it's central, it's pretty much the center of Australia.
Julian Fennell will be happy with this. She won't have to travel as far anywhere now. She actually only go to Alice.
And then all you got to do is have a what do you call it, like flights onto Alice Springs, because it'll be pretty much 4 hours from Perth. Would it be 4 hours? It'd be less than 4 hours from Perth, less than 4 hours from Melbourne. It's the center of the country. In fact, why don't we just make the capital in Alice Springs?
I don't know. I don't. I'm have a chat to the team, but I don't know how that one's going to fly.
Yeah,
to
don't
be
know. I'm a bit worried about the climate as well. You get the benefit of really hot days and then really cold nights as well. The cold nights I can handle, but the heat in the days is, you know what we're like in those kind of hot weather environments, Andrew. We can't cope very well. Natalie, I'm interested to hear in terms of, because this has been a big undertaking and first time round, what would be, have you got a handful of kind of what have been the big barriers or the biggest challenges you've kind of faced as you've been preparing for this big fair?
I guess because we are the unknown, I think spending time convincing people that we're serious and that we, know how to put on an event and we will put on a good event. But I feel like as the months have rolled on, we've really, people are understanding we're serious about it. So I feel like that barrier is going, and it will be gone in 2 weeks, I would say. The other thing, I think being a big trade show, especially exhibitors are used to doing everything at the last minute for, say, a field day, whereas, because of the planning and the floor plans and everything, sort of explaining that, it's we need information and plans and commitments, quite a bit earlier than, say, a field day would. That would be. And also just the whole, you can never pick a perfect time to help host an event for farmers. We understand that, say, for instance, I think the grain industry, this is, not the most ideal time, although we do have quite a bit of representation. But I think it's just all those like little things that come with people not knowing who you are, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but as you said, that seems like, certainly from what I've seen on social media a lot in terms of in the lead up, the amount of people that are saying they're going to be there or saying they're presenting, or, and it might just be that we're in the same circles as those people, perhaps. I might be part of my agricultural bubble that I live in that it looks like, but it does look like there's a lot of kind of good switched on high profile people that are going and going to be there. So I think you've done it. I think you've done a good job at being able to target the right ones by the look of it.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. I hope so. I feel like, the main thing is that we put on a great event and a great show, and I think when people see that, it's really going to stand us in good stead, because, that's our number one focus, just to give the people that are coming a great experience and make it worthwhile to, leave their farms.
Have you thought of, because when in between kind of sessions and when people aren't speaking, have you thought about having some gentle banjo music playing in the background just to liven the atmosphere?
What about the new Beyonce album? How would that go down?
I have actually listened to that. It was pretty an interesting rendition.
Yeah, have you really or not?
I've listened to her rendition of, what's it called?
Blackbird.
Is it Blackbirds? What's that?
Is that the Paul McCartney one?
Yeah, I listened to a rendition of that one.
And Jolene?
Jolene, that's the one I listened to. It was
Dolly Parton one.
It's a lot more aggressive than
than
original.
Than Dolly Parton's version.
It's like, you will not take my man.
Poor old Jolene. She's copying it again all these years later.
But because I'm done with the people, Matt. You got to remember, I'm a lot younger than you. I'm done with the 411.
But I did note that you weren't quite sure of who the original artist that released Jolene was. So I had to just
I got no
put
idea.
Dolly Parton. She's a legend of country music. Yeah. So you're going to say about that album. So you listened to it and
Oh, no, I didn't listen to all of it. I just listened to her cover of Jolene.
I'm just a little bit disappointed at how quickly Natalie was able to move away from my reference to the banjo music. Did you see she kind of, she was polite, but she didn't, she kind of just diverted the attention across to something probably more pleasant.
I was going to ask you, Natalie, and this is a loaded question.
Oh, gosh.
Out of all of the speakers at the Future Ag, which two do you think are the best?
Oh, well, there's about 75, so I
I'm only asking. I'm giving you the choice of two, so it's not loaded. Look,
there's a couple of guys. I forget their names now. Yeah. They're going to be in some German outfits to start the show. Their names are not springing to mind. I'll message you later.
It's fine. I'll give you a few minutes to think about it.
When you said about the leader hasn't the assets, so years ago I was in currency markets, right? And every year, one of the biggest events in the currency game was the Oktoberfest in Munich. So I used to go. I went 7 years in a row to the Oktoberfest, right? With this German bank that used to get me out there. And the seventh year I went there. For those that haven't been to the Oktoberfest, it's actually quite a cultural event, and a lot of the young people get dressed up in all the traditional outfit, like the lederhosen and everything. And the guys there said, on my last trip there, they said I'd been there so many times that I had to go and buy a lederhosen outfit. I said, if you come back for your eighth one, you're not allowed to come in unless you've got your own lederhosen because you've been here so many times. So I never went back. I actually stopped doing currencies. That's the only reason. But had I kept doing it for another year, I would have actually had a pair of lederhosen. And given the fact I've always been overweight, pretty much, I would have still probably been able to fit into them.
So, do you think that was a ploy to get you to not come back?
It could have been because I did actually look at it and price up, because they do, particularly in Bavaria, they're quite popular because they'll wear them any old time, right, for a special occasion. A bit like you wearing your kilt, Andrew. It's a cultural outfit,
thing.
Yeah, it currently gets worn, and I did look at. They're not a cheap item. When you get the full kit, like, you know, the whole full lederhosen, because it's like a...
How much do you think a kilt costs?
Yeah, no, kilt's expensive as well. Probably more expensive for the kilt, I think.
Way more expensive.
Yeah.
Considering it's 28 micron wool, you'd think it'd be a bit cheaper. But it's... it'd be $1,000 for a kilt.
Is that just the kilt? Because you know,
just the material.
You have the old traditional one where you can have more gear associated, more tartan gear, not just the kilt. They have like a thing.
So it'll be $1,000 for the kilt. Be $250 for the shoes. $100 for the socks. $400 for the sporran. $200 for the belt. $200 for the waistcoat. $400 for the jacket. $150 for the shirt. A kilt pin knife, as in $200. You're talking about $2,000, maybe $2,500.
Is the knife the skin do?
Skin do, yeah.
Skin do.
So it's not a cheap outfit. And considering you only wear it every once in a while, maybe I should wear it more often.
It's going to look good at Future Ag, and so will the lederhosen.
Mm-hmm. Mm. No, unfortunately, I didn't. Unfortunately, I didn't purchase a pair. But we might be able to. Maybe we could just come in a traditional Australian attire of would Crocs be the modern thongs?
Mm-hmm.
All roads lead back to Crocs, don't they?
I wonder if we can, on that stage, that after the welcome we're up, maybe we could do the presentation in Crocs. Andrew, do you think that would fit with the?
Well, I'm just doing a quick Google on Amazon. And get you a set of Crocs, a set of lederhosen, for $153.
That won't be authentic.
One star review.
That won't be authentic.
That's actually the more expensive one. There's some here for $36, made of paper, maybe.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, I think.
And there seems to be quite a lot of quote unquote sexy lederhosen. Oh, Jesus. I'm glad I work from home.
Don't Google that.
there's quite a few here that are risque, I would say, and don't seem to leave too much to the imagination. And I think they might be for certain clubs.
Yeah, so anyway. I think I'll skip that. But we'll think about You might be able to, if you engage Crocs for a future event, you might be able to get a specific future, you know, a future A Expo designed Croc that, you know, could be kind of handed out and worn.
Just get some gibbets.
I'm liking it.
So I've given you a few minutes. Which presenters are the best ones you've got on the?
Well, you mentioned Tim Neal, yeah.
Yeah.
Tim, Olympia Yaga, she's great.
She's all right.
There you go, getting silly now. So for those that aren't aware, the event is coming up this month. So we're only, yes, what, a couple of weeks away.
God, yep. We're in April already.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Not sure when this is coming out, but it's less than 2 weeks.
This will be out 5 minutes after we finish.
Well, this will be out today. 17th of April to the 19th of April. 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And the expo is open the whole time. The conference runs the whole time as well, concurrently.
No, it's 17th and 18th, Matt.
Is the conference
2 days?
You should know this. I knew the answer. I'm getting Natalie to. This is what you do when you're a skilled presenter. You sometimes ask the questions you already know the answer to, so that then the guests can listen.
I wouldn't know about it because I'm unskilled.
The other thing is that we do have a program, as you guys know, because you're on it, in the exhibition. You don't have to pay to come to the conference. You can actually see plenty of, you know, really great sessions, people talking about technology and the markets and, just solutions, workforce, everything to do with ag, for free in the expo stage as well, and that goes for 3 days. And we've even got Russ Fowler and Molly the Mustard Dog are coming on the first day. So
that would be a rubbish presentation, though.
No, actually, their presentation is kind of cool because.
Oh, so it's the people, not the dogs.
Well, there's one of the dogs coming, but you know they're going to be talking about. You know, how the dogs, working dogs, do make farm more efficient, and about educating the stock as well, which is something I had never really thought about. But then, yeah, there's also the behind the scenes and the cute factor, which I know everyone in my team is dying to see Molly the dog.
I believe that there's ABC Country Hour, Victoria Warwick Long's going to be there live presenting. Is that for the whole time? Do you know? Is it for one day or the whole?
It's my understanding that Country Owl will be broadcasting for the whole 3 days. Yeah, I think we've got some other media as well.
Weekly Times are obviously on the ticket too.
Yeah, definitely.
AgWatch's podcast.
Yep. AgWatch's podcast. They're
top billing.
The big media. I do, it has to be clear though that there is two stages for the conference of presentations. There's the expert stage.
Yep.
Where the best and the brightest are on.
Well, you're on both ends.
I'm pretty sure the expert stage is in order of, like, they start with the best and brightest right after the intro, the ones that come on right after that. That's 17th
of April, 9:30 a.m. presentation titled "May You Live in Interesting Times: The Making Sense of the Driving Forces Behind the Agricultural Market" by these two guys. They look like us. Matt Dalglish and Andrew
Whitelaw.
Are they
from episode three?
Those guys look like us and they sound like us, but they're not us, FYI, because AgWatch is a completely separate thing. That looks interesting. And then I think, Matt, I'm on it twice. I'm on a panel looking at the conference, building resilience in the face of geopolitical disruption. I feel that this is a bit of a guide for people. If you're going to watch that panel, you're probably best watching the presentation from us in the first day as well, because it will all tie together quite nicely.
Yeah. It will.
Because we'll be able to explain geopolitical tensions and then go into it in the panel in a relaxed and casual environment.
Yeah, with previous podcast guests, Bonnie Skinner and Angeline Acharya.
Yep, that's correct. If you long get those ones, you're getting your money's worth, pretty much.
Absolutely, definitely. It's a good plan. If that's appealing, then I say go for it.
I'm being facetious because there's a lot of good speakers.
Yeah, there is.
I'm looking forward to Olympia, although we've already had on a podcast, so we've probably had it all before. David Yohenke, Emma Shimano, Wags, Olivia Lawson, oh, good speakers. Tim Neal, and a lot of good topics from everything from climate change to AI to food security.
Actually, I just want to quickly say
it actually probably is one of the most diverse.
It is.
Like when you can go to conferences like what's that one called in Perth that's $6,000 a ticket or whatever.
Evocac. The one that was in, yeah, that was that goes to different spots, but last time it was in Perth, yeah.
Yeah, but it's quite a specific ag tech focus. And then you go to NFF conference and it's quite a strong focus on policy and government and what they're doing, whatever. ABARES is very much a focus on
contact info are you looking for?
Look, is that your Siri? We're being interrupted by Siri. Sorry. How unprofessional.
Bloody, imagine interrupting people when they're mid speaking. That's not like us. But it's got quite a variety of different things from data, natural disasters. Like, there's something for everyone, actually. And I'm not just saying that as a blowing smoke, but there's quite a lot of different things there.
Oh, thanks. Well, one thing that I was really pleasantly surprised about was how many women came forward. I do other trade shows and there are a lot of brilliant women in different industries, but getting them to get up and speak and share their opinions and their experiences can be challenging, but not, it was so easy. Just it's been great, meeting so many different people. It's been really, really amazing meeting them all and just being aware of them all. So I'm really glad that if that is your impression of the program, then yeah, I hope it is quite diverse.
I haven't just saying that. I've looked, obviously you're organizing it, so you probably know the numbers off the back of off the top of your head.
So I was going to ask the same question. How many Scottish people do you have speaking?
No, well, it's highly diverse because you're opening with a Scotsman and a person that identifies as a hillbilly on the first thing. So that's diverse right there, right? But then in terms of, because that's one of the criticisms too of a lot of conferences, that there's not enough representation across, and particularly women speakers. But just off the top of my head, it almost looks like to me that it's nearly a 50-50 split in terms of the number of women you got speaking and being on panels and whatnot. Would that be right?
I haven't looked at the numbers, but I have thought that. Look, I don't think you can ever stop improving. There's always room to, represent more groups, minorities, whatever. I think it probably is 50-50 this one. But yeah, it's definitely one of those things when you start asking people to be involved in events that you're sort of looking for certain things, but then you can often get halfway through it and realize, geez, I haven't seen representation in this, and whoops. I think it's just something to strive for, I guess.
I think it's something to strive for, but obviously it is just a case of who can speak about the topic. And that's what it comes down to, is the ability to speak and who is available. Because I think it looks like about 50-50, give or take. Just scrolling through.
Yeah, it feels that.
Kate Burke as well.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Kate Burke, isn't she?
Yeah, she's
a doctor. She's amazing.
Yeah. Ben Fessy, we know Ben. Anyway, it's going to be an interesting sort of day.
It is. I'm looking forward to it. I am really looking forward to it. So mainly to see Andrew in his kilt on the first day, kilt and Crocs. I'm interested.
You and the Lederhosen? Yep.
Yeah.
We're not joking. You've said it now.
I might wear I'll wear something leather. My leather hat that Gillian Fennell hates.
Some people have got style, some people don't. That's the thing.
But
right, we're probably best to, before we get silly.
We've veered towards silliness a few times and Natalie managed to pull us back on track.
And I'm sure during the conference, we've got 3 days there, we can probably arrange to have a couple of cheeky drinks with people after the event, and Ag Watchers sell drinks. Where will we go?
Well, there is a drinks event within the event on the first day, on the Wednesday from 4 to 6. So if you're there, there will be drinks and
we're talking about the after party, Natalie. Like
the kick on.
We're talking about the kick on. Like that's what we sort out that bit. Maybe supper club again.
You never know. Yeah, we might be able to find some cool spot to
actually. Because I live in Melbourne, but well, I lived outside Melbourne. Showgrounds. How far is that from CBD?
A short Uber trip.
Okay, supper club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should be real. No, it's good. Well, we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to catching up in person. And for those that haven't already, you know, considered, maybe have a look at the program and seriously consider going, because I think it's going to be a cracker.
I think it's going to be great. And yeah, I think anyone who comes along will really enjoy it. And yeah, you can come for a day or you can come for three, whatever you want.
Easy peasy.
Sounds good. Thanks for coming on, Natalie. We'll see you when you've got nothing on.
Sure for now.
Thanks so much, guys.